We hear Jesus sitting in the temple area. And again, this would have been on Tuesday of Holy Week, 33 AD. We heard last week Jesus addressing in the temple area on the same day the scribe who had asked him the question about, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus responds, to love God above all and your neighbor as yourself. Then the scribe acknowledges, you have said this well. And Jesus acknowledges that this scribe is not far from the kingdom of God. So I think this is one of the, there's, you know, good scribes. So then we hear, if you read the Gospels, the first part of this Gospel seems to happen next, where Jesus is being criticizing the scribes, telling the people that beware of what they do, follow what they say, but don't follow what they do, basically. And then you read Matthew's Gospel. Certainly he goes into this dialogue where he's calling the Pharisees and the scribes hypocrites, and he says this a number of times. And one of the criticisms he says, Jesus says to them, is that they're not focusing on the weightier things, judgment and mercy and fidelity. And he calls them whitewashed tombs, who are on the in, you know, on the outside are, they look like they're pristine, but on the inside they're full of scum and filth. Strong words from Jesus. Of course, he kind of knows what's inside. So, and then it's interesting, another one of the woes that Jesus talks about is he says, woe to you scribes, you blind guides. You say if one swears to the temple, it doesn't mean anything. But if one swears to the gold of the temple, then one is obligated. It's almost like Jesus is telling them that they're so focused on money and what people are giving to the temple. They're focused on the money. And Jesus is trying to point out to them, wait a second, you should really be focused. It's opposite of what you're saying. You really should be focused on God and the temple. And we know that just before, like the day before, Jesus had cast out from the temple area, you know, the money changers. And what does he say? He says, you're treating my house like a marketplace, my Father's house like a marketplace. And Jesus is one of the times in Scripture where Jesus is clearly upset. So they're not, wait a second, your focus is on money versus God? And then, so that then leads into Jesus observing how people are giving to the treasury. And we hear how, you know, there's many rich people who give a lot, and this poor widow comes up and she gives two small coins. Now, it's said that these coins probably were, they were copper coins. They were probably the lowest denomination of coin, the lowest meaning the lowest, worth the last, least, worth the least. So it's kind of like our penny, you know, your dime is worth a little more, obviously, than a penny. So it's like she gave two small, like two pennies. It says a couple of cents. So kind of, and they were copper coins, at least some of the sources are saying. So she gives these two small coins, you know, small value coins. And Jesus comments how she's given more than all the rest of these, you know, rich people who gave all kinds of money. She didn't give from her surplus. She gave, it actually hurt. It kind of, she sacrificed. And she gave her whole livelihood. You think about it. She sacrificed. She gave what she could. You know, even more than that. Well, you have to ask the question is why are they giving money? What's the point? Now, certainly it's, you know, called a gift to the Lord. But if you go back into the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 30, in there Moses instructs, through the various things that God had shared with them, Moses instructs that people are to come to the temple. It was at that point, it was the meeting tent. It was the tabernacle. They had a movable temple area. It was a movable tent, basically. So people were to come and give what's called the tribute tax or a ransom tax. And they were, as were instructed, that the rich and the poor were supposed to give a half shekel. I think that's what they were giving in Jesus' time as well. a half shekel. And the purpose of this was is that they were to pay the Lord, pay a ransom to the Lord for their lives. Kind of like, you know, hey, pay the money so that I can save you. That's what this tax was. And we think back, well, what were they being saved from? Well, certainly we know that the Israelites were being saved. They were saved from the Egyptians. The Lord had led them out of the land of Egypt and had destroyed Pharaoh's entire army, basically. And then, as they're in the desert for 40 years, who was feeding them? It was the Lord who was feeding them with manna. So it's like the least they could do would give some money to the Lord as a ransom, you know, to save their lives. So that then moved forward, and you think about that, that now you have, in Jesus' time, people are coming forward and paying this tax. That's what the tax collectors, in part, would collect. They would collect this tax. A ransom. And you think about it. Jesus, what did Jesus do for us? He died for our sins. He died to save us. So, what is the least we could do? We can come, certainly, and give what we can to the Lord. We do that here at Mass. We come in offertory. We offer what we have to the Lord. You know, our whatever we have, you know, money or our talents. But most especially, we offer our lives to the Lord, our livelihood. We offer that to the Lord. And of course, as the priest, I take that offering and I offer it up as in the person of Christ to the Lord. And then, of course, the Lord does wonders with our offering. You know, we bring this little offering and the Lord multiplies it. He does wonders with that. So to never underestimate how important it is for us to give what we can to the Lord, like that widow gave to the Lord. So this is something that for us really to look at is, how can I be generous with the Lord, with my life? And one of the things to acknowledge, and that is that everything that we have is from the Lord, ultimately. All good things, as we hear in Scripture, come from the Lord. You read St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, and he says that, for God is the one who, for his good purposes, works in you both to desire and to work. Works in you both to desire and to work. In other words, the very desire that we have to be generous and to give and to do those things that we are called to do, that's from the Lord. We're just cooperating with his grace. Even to work, as St. Paul says, is from the Lord. So it's like, okay, I have the capacity, the ability to do these things. Thank God for that. Thank God for giving me this capacity, the ability to do what I can do. And then, obviously, why are we doing it? To give glory and honor to God. To give that to God. So if you can read another place, St. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, writes about how we have been enhanced in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God. So we've been given all kinds of various things, gifts, which we're called then to be generous with, certainly to give back to the Lord. And in that giving back, in that generosity then, we produce thanksgiving to God. That's one of the things, you know, we realize what we've been given, the many blessings and gifts that God has given to us, and it moves us to thanksgiving. Why are we here at Mass? One of the big things is to give thanksgiving to God. You know, Eucharist means thanksgiving. So we come and we offer our lives, and we thank God for all that he's given to us. He is so generous. We can never outdo God's generosity. So something for us really to reflect on, you know. Thank God for all that you've given to me. Help me to be generous. Help me to be a thanksgiving person. So we can think about that, you know, throughout our day. You know, am I being generous with God, what he's given to me? You know, certainly we can give God our time. You know, maybe it's stop for a little bit to say a prayer. Thank God. You know, when we experience something, we can say in our head, thank you, Lord. God be praised. God be glorious. We can certainly give to the poor. You know, give, okay, I have some money I can give to the poor. Certainly giving to the church properly. And then, you know, certainly like married couples, you know, be generous as far as children. Be open to God, what God has planned for them. You know, God, if a couple is open and generous with children, you can't outdo God's generosity. He's going to bless and guide and help certainly that family, so that couple, that person. So we just want to acknowledge, certainly thank God for all that he's given to us. You know, certainly what he did for us in dying for us on the cross so that we could be saved. So we just ask the Lord to help us to be generous and allow us to thank God by giving our lives, our entire livelihood to the Lord.